City Talk 105.9. Official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm. City Talk 105.9. Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks.
This is a man's world.
City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool, and do you mind? It is the weekend, and it's Bloke Talk here. Though, of course, if you are listening to this on a download thingy, MP3 file, little white box like a cigarette packet, then it might not be the weekend. I'm Duncan. Toby's here as well. Laura's here as well, and it's a Bloke Talk. Are we okay?
Yeah, sorry for hitting the microphone. What are we going to do?
I wasn't here last week. How did last week go? I've got some. It got renamed last
feedback.
Week, didn't it? Did it get called Man Chat?
Well, that's what Will happens to call it, mainly because he can never remember Bloke Talk as a name.
It's an attempt at humour as well.
It was good.
It was different. You made buns, didn't you?
No, I didn't make any in the end.
I thought you made buns.
No, we just ate chocolate instead.
You said you were going to make rolls and
buns. I said I was going to, but they're only good if they're hot and fresh out the oven.
Well, was it any good last week? What did you talk about last week?
Do you know what? For the very first time ever, we talked about football.
Did you? What did you talk? I know. I mean, you know, I'm not the world's greatest football fan. I like the Mighty Whites, the legendary Tranmere.
We talked about your support of them.
Yeah, what did you say?
Laura intimated that perhaps you weren't as passionate a supporter as you might be.
I am very passionate. Lorraine Rogers, who's their chairperson, she always gives me a personal briefing when I go to Prenton Park, and I sit there and have a little... You sit on the terraces, they give you a rug.
Yeah, they give you a rug.
Put it over your legs.
They give us commentators a rug, I tell you.
Do you get the rough end of the deal then?
It's all right up there.
It's
a bit windy. But anyway, what else did we talk about? We talked about how
weddings.
We talked about weddings, but just in terms of
Has that wedding happened?
Yeah.
Was it all right?
It was absolutely fantastic.
Was it a magical moment?
Perfect and emotional.
Did you cry? We talked about whether she was going to cry.
Did you cry?
And women at weddings generally and how important it is for them compared to
Who called the thing?
Just a friend of my sister's.
Oh, right, okay.
I cried.
Did
absolutely.
You'd be allowed to cry because it's your sister getting hitched.
Yeah.
That's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, but we were talking about how women always cry, even if they're like a friend of a friend of the person getting married. Yeah. And it's generally because of the state of their own world that they're crying at.
No, well, this was what I was worried about because I cried a bit during the actual ceremony and then I lost the plot during the first dance.
Well, what do you mean you lost the plot?
I was sobbing my eyes
out. What was the song?
Oh, it was actually a song I'd never heard of.
Huh.
By Bjork. You know Bjork?
Well, the little Icelandic dwarf.
It's so quiet.
I wasn't laughing, but she's funny to look at.
Yeah, but her voice is beautiful.
The song was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was so much better than these cheesy.
That's quite an unusual thing, because a lot of people have like, I don't know.
I'd do anything for you.
Foreigner. I've been waiting for a girl
Actually, funnily enough, I read recently a survey of the top 10 songs that people have as their first dance. Yeah. Number one was More Than Words by Extreme.
Oh, is it?
That is a reason for genocide, actually, isn't it? Let's be honest. That is a horrible song.
I quite like that song. What did you have? You probably had, I've got a brand new combine harvest. I can't sing that song, it's too loud.
That is so rude. Are you suggesting just because I was born and raised in the country that I might have had the words? I had a jazz band, and they played a song called A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square. Do you know that?
I do.
It's a jazz standard. You'll know as a musician. It's probably in your repertoire for your French horn.
It's probably not in my repertoire, but I'm sure it's in my CD collection somewhere.
So there you are. I find it's very cliched, though, isn't it?
Mm.
It's very cliche, and that's a brave thing for your sister and her fella to have something like Bjork. I think that's
great. Was it a dance that they'd like? Had they practiced the dance and stuff, or was it?
You don't dance properly.
Wedding that I went to not that long ago, must have been about a year ago. She was a dancer, or one of her big hobbies was dancing, and she had chosen this fast
private dancer.
Can't remember what it was. Not a private dancer. No, she'd chosen one of these sort of fast songs that they'd actually come up with a routine for.
Living La Vida Loca.
It was hilarious. It wasn't that. It was. I think it might have been Buddy Holly or someone like that. And it was very entertaining because he was a little bit wooden and quite clearly very shy. And she was dancing around loving it. And good effort for him. Good work. Mm. Good event
I
to
think
try,
that's but... wrong, you know, because it puts one increased pressure on the bloke. Yeah. And this is bloke talk, so I think that's a point that's got to be made. And actually, it puts increased pressure on both of them. And it should be, surely that moment should be, as I'm sure it was for your sister and her fella, that kind of sort of like you're there and it's your wedding day and there's a song that means something to you. It's not. It shouldn't be something else to kind of entertain the guests with. Well, oh, let's do our routine that we practiced
the last 4 weeks. There's a big craze for it now. Lots of people are putting videos on YouTube and they're doing things like...
Are they?
The dirty dancing dance. Ugh. The thriller dance is a big one. Where basically...
Well, two of them?
No. They've taught it to all their guests. They've taught it to a load of guests as well.
Brilliant.
And the guests all break into Thriller.
Have you seen the thing on YouTube, which is...
The Prisoners.
The Prisoners.
Oh, yeah.
Where is it? It's not Thailand,
Korea.
Is it? Korea.
Yes, and they, brilliant.
Because what they do for as part of their kind of like exercise hours, they blast out pop songs. And all of these prisoners were doing a routine
to
Thriller.
It's the biggest Thriller group of people doing the Thriller dance in the world ever.
If you're listening to this, Bloke Talk on City Talk 105.9, and maybe you've got a PC or laptop, top handy, you've not ever done this, go to YouTube and type in, what do you reckon?
Thriller Prisoners Career.
And it will make you laugh. You will weep with joy. So how did you lose it then? When this Bjork song was on, what did you do?
I cried low, but not just, you know, the odd tear dripping down my face.
Bald.
And then I thought, I've got to pull it together because people are going to think I'm upset.
And didn't you have to do a speech?
I wasn't upset. I'd already done my speech.
I want to talk about your speech. Now, let's talk about the crying first.
Right, okay.
And then my mum took a photo of me, which I wasn't happy about. I was really genuinely moved. I just thought, these people are so in love.
Yeah.
I know they're going to stay together forever, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It was nothing to do with jealousy or feeling
but
sad about
it. But you lost it. You said you lost it.
Big time.
You're uncontrollably.
Here's Rick Vaughan, ladies and gentlemen.
Was it all going off?
going like time. A suicide bomber.
Enough. That is not funny, and you shouldn't laugh. And how was your speech?
My speech? Yeah. Right, I'm not being big-headed here, but it was the best one of the night.
Did you get an ovation? Did they stand up?
Yeah.
Ah,
how long was it?
About
was
3 minutes.
Obama-esque?
It actually mentioned Obama within the speech.
I want to talk about Obama
topical.
Later, but I don't want to talk
topical.
About it.
Very topical.
Yeah, it's in a boring
it was
way.
It was
what was your best joke?
It was a news bulletin.
Yeah. I've got a telegram here from this gentleman called Barack Obama.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
What did you say?
I basically said tributes were paid to the happy couple from people like Gordon Brown, Barack Obama, and I read certain things out.
Yeah. Oh, I see. That's
and
very
then,
clever
and then
of
I
you.
Did,
you're good.
I did a little topical reference to Russell Brand, which got a few...
What was your best joke?
Probably the Russell Brand one.
What did you say?
I can't repeat it.
Oh, I see. It's all right.
Let's just say it was about my sister.
Yeah, and I'm bored of that story. I'm so bored of that story. It's
I know, but it was topical.
No, you've got to do it. You've got to push the right button. So you cried at your sister and her new husband's first dance on the song, which is Bjork, and your speech was a tremendous success.
Yeah.
I always find it's difficult. If you're a bloke at weddings, how many weddings have you been to?
Five or six.
Yeah.
Not many.
Yeah. I find it quite hard because it can be quite boring. Do you know what I mean?
No,
but they can be. And what you end up doing is a group of men who you would never normally actually be in the same room with because it's quite a disparate and quite diverse set of fellas. You end up kind of like, you know, all buying drinks for each other at the bar. Chances are you'll never see them again until the actual couple decide to have a kid and then you might end up as godparents or whatever. And you kind of like... I just find that sometimes, you know, if the mix is right, it's a great laugh, but sometimes you end up going, so, estate agency, times must be hard at the moment. Yawn. And there's nothing else to talk about. I just find them boring.
I'd be shocked to be in a room with you and you not find something to talk about, to be honest with you.
So last week's show was good, was it?
Yeah.
Did you flirt with
good.
Will like you
seven
normally
and a half
do?
Eight out of ten.
Not what I've heard. I've got who's been on the Facebook site? It was you, wasn't it?
I had a bit of a look earlier.
We have, and I ought to mention this because we've been a bit lapsed recently. If you're on Facebook, you can join the Bloke Talk Appreciation Society, and that's what this show is. It's called Bloke Talk, and it was set up by I think it was Craig, wasn't it?
Craig.
Craig Lucas.
We should see if we can get 100 members on there. You know, by maybe
by
next week.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, if you listen to Bloke Talk.
Mark, about 80 okay?
And I don't care how you listen to it. If you listen to it live at the weekend or you download it, that's great. Thank you very much indeed. And if you're on Facebook, can you like get some more people to kind of like register? Is that
I
okay?
I think so, yeah.
Because
we've got about 80 at the moment. I think we need 100 by next week.
Well, seeing as you two aren't even members, you're not even a member of Facebook anymore.
I've come off it. Well, it's nothing to do with people's sites they've set up. It's addictive and it's a habit. And it's a bad habit. You can spend too much time on it.
I've got over my addiction of Facebook now. I've been on it very nearly 2 years, and I've got bored. I'm not addicted. I check it once a day, but it's a check rather than a searching round and spying on people like I used to.
In a kind of virtual stalker kind of way. Yeah. You were on there earlier today, weren't you? And there was this. Have you seen this, Laura? There was this conversation taking place between a couple of people. Man chat is cool. Big up the little Willy. That'll be Will, I'm guessing. Mm. Laura will spend the whole hour giggling, no doubt.
This would have been before the show, I take it.
And someone else says, man chat's very modern day and a bit universal. What does that mean?
A bit universal.
Mm. But a good alternative, I'd put me student loan. That explains it. It's someone trying to be intelligent. I'd put me student loan on Laura giggling all the way through, but I haven't received it yet.
That's a student loan that we
have to pay for.
No, I mean, you giggled about as much as you normally do.
Did you giggle like a girl?
I don't giggle ever.
Yeah.
I don't think. That's
how sure I am. She loves Willy.
No, that's chortling.
Hang on, what's this? I haven't received my student loan yet.
That's one of my favourite. Do you have a favourite word? That's one of my favourite words, a chortle.
A chortle. She loves Willy. I guess that's Will. Then it goes on to say, man chat is for the youth.
The youth. The youth. How's that spelled?
Look at me.
Y-O-O-F.
Look at me. For the youth.
For the youth.
For the youth. Whereas bloke talk is for the over 30s. Toby, too, acts up when little Will comes amongst them. He goes all silly when the little Willy stands in.
Oh.
And then this other bloke says, I prefer Will when he's covering Duncan's weekday show to when Duncan does it himself.
Controversial.
Yeah, well,
I'm
out of contract now, so I might not even be here next week. Dunks is the ideal man to front bloke talk. He is the optimum of the blokey bloke, a bit cultured but sticking to his guns on the things he believes in. Any chance we could have Will as a bloke talk regular? No, because he's far too popular. Would make the show even more listenable.
Duncan's
than
getting a bit. It's getting a bit self-conscious.
And then someone else says, I love them both for different reasons. Duncan is like fillet steak and chips, whilst Will is like a pork chop with mash and gravy.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean, question mark. What does that mean, then?
I don't know.
What's
the difference?
Well, no, explain.
Yeah.
Just think in your head of, if someone was a food, what would they be?
Yeah.
You think Duncan's
and you
more
would definitely
meaty
be steak and chips.
Fillet steak. Fillet is, that's the buzzword. Like fillet. We're not talking.
Distinguished.
You know.
Hearty.
We're not talking
and then a meaty.
Rump.
Yeah,
sirloin. We're talking fillet, the top cut.
What's Will as
well,
a pork
a bit
chop,
softer
then?
And a bit cheaper.
You see, pork chop.
No, you know what I mean? I don't mean that in a bad way.
No. Pork chop with mash and gravy is kind of like comfort food, isn't it?
Toby's a trifle.
You are a trifle. You'd be a sherry trifle.
A bit different each day. Mm. Every 10 minutes, I change.
What do you think I am?
What, as a dessert or?
A food.
Toad
a hot dog. It's funny how we both, not that far away from each other.
What did you say?
Toad in the hole. And I said a hot dog. Both sausage-based. Toad in the hole is one of my favourites. I love it. My dad makes a good toad in the hole.
It's hard to make good toad, isn't it?
It is, but when it's done well,
it's genius.
He does do it well.
Yeah. How does he do it?
He makes the batter for what's effectively Yorkshire pudding, isn't
it?
And cooks the sausages separately, I believe. And sort of... I think there's possibly a bit of mustard somewhere involved.
Nice, It's and that's interesting because we've learned on previous bloke talks that your mother's cooking's not very good, and you're the first to actually say it's a bit rubbish.
And so do you know what? She listened to that show
and cried
and agreed. She was like, generally, I think what you said was about fair. She's also quite proud that she's sort of legendary as a bad chef now as well.
Yeah, I still think you're quite rude. Laura, what did you say hot dog for?
I don't know, probably for the same reasons that you said toad in the hole.
I'm like a sausage,
meaty,
basically.
Meaty inside and soft on the outside.
A bit batty on the outside.
A bit batty on the outside. Anyway,
you
listen, that's not me.
It is City Talk 105.9. It's Bloke Talk. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Duncan. Toby's here. Laura's here as well. And we haven't really talked about anything so far. We just talked about last week, and we talked about the wedding you went to, your sister's, and we talked about the dance, the first dance your sister did of a bloke to Bjork. That is weird, Bjork.
I really want to know what song it was.
I'd never heard of it before.
Because Bjork shrieks.
I don't like Bjork.
No, it was a beautiful song. It had harps in the background.
Oh, you can't go wrong with a harp. You ever played a harp?
My sister used to play
the
harp.
You got a French horn? Harp?
My sister did, but not me.
Elegant, actually, harps, aren't they?
Yeah, mm. I think
something quite beautiful about a woman who's got a really big harp. Okay, and do you know what I mean?
And a few doves flying around.
Just, doves?
Yeah, I always think of harps and doves together for some reason. Don't know why. But that's what I do.
A few doves.
Yeah.
So there you are. Listen, if you are online and you're involved in Facebook, please join our Appreciation Society. And as you've actually heard, we do look at it and, you know, any messages on there, we kind of, you know, kick around. We'll take
some
things on board.
I'd like some more people to actually start writing on the wall, though.
Yeah.
Get a bit of a discussion. Any feedback you want to give us, then, you know.
Yeah. And also,
we'll take it in our stride.
Part of the reason that Laura was brought in was to discuss, you know, and try and help any men with issues about women.
Point. Yeah.
So if you've got any questions to Laura,
exactly.
Then talk about it.
We've been very bad at mentioning that, haven't we?
Yeah, I think so. That was the reason that she's here.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, if you're a bloke and you have problems with any issues regarding members of the opposite sex, then, well, you know, Laura's here.
For
and,
5 or 10 minutes a show, she can be Auntie Hums.
Mm. Auntie Laura sounds better.
Okay.
Yeah. So write something on the wall, on the Bloke Talk Appreciation Society Facebook thing, and we'll see if we can help you out. It is the weekend, it's City Talk 105.9. I'm Duncan, Laura's here, Toby's here as well.
This is Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks, City Talk 105.9.
Do you know a hero? The City Talk and Sayers the Better Bakers Child of Courage Award will recognise a very special young person. From conquering illness or disability to caring for a family member and acts of bravery, courage comes in all shapes and sizes. To cast your vote and to win a chance to be at the star-studded awards ceremony at the Royal Court Theatre on December the 2nd, log on to citytalk.fm/localheroes. The third annual Local Heroes Child of Courage Award with Sayers the Better Bakers and City Talk 105.9.
When you work in a hotel as big as this, there's always new people to meet and new opportunities. It's hard work, but the staff are great, which makes it an exciting place to be. And there are great perks too, like much cheaper rooms in our other hotels around the world, which keeps the missus happy.
Working in the tourism and hospitality industry could give your career a boost. With a wide range of job roles available in hotels, restaurants, bars and visitor attractions, call now for details on 0845 013 1515.
Roy Basnett.
The early hours of Monday morning, it's your chance to hear the long-awaited second part of our interview with Christopher Chance. You may remember that Christopher, a convicted drug smuggler, spent many years in some of Europe's worst prisons. On Monday, he continues where he left off, and you can hear the interview exclusively on City Talk 105.9 with me, Roy Basnett.
Roy Basnett, weekdays at 2 a.m. on City Talk 105.9.
Are you doing your bit to combat global warming? We are!
By recycling your favourite City Talk shows. Listen again at citytalk.fm/citycasts. Each programme is available for 7 days before being updated. There's also an archive section for the best bits you might have missed.
Saving the planet and entertaining you at the same time.
City Talk 105.9. City Talk.
Words of wisdom.
Always forgive your enemies. Nothing will annoy them more.
City Talk 105.9. Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks. City Talk 105.9.
Listen, I need to apologise. If it all goes a bit wrong, it's because, and we can be honest about this, because we talk about him sometimes, Jonathan, who is the normal producer of Bloke Talk. He's very good, isn't he?
Do you know, we heard Jonathan's voice on air last week.
Yeah, that's great,
time.
Isn't it?
Well, he sounds good on
he's
it.
He's normally behind the scenes, and he does. When he's like, goes, it's just amazing. I'm Jonathan Dean. Yeah. And Jonathan is normally the producer, but he's not here this week, which means, well, I'm pressing the button. So if it all goes wrong, it's probably not your radio
or your
iPod.
Should make it clear that Jonathan doesn't only just press buttons, and that's all we've got him here for. He is more important than
he produces and everything.
He normally censors us.
Yeah. So if it all goes wrong, it's my fault. We went to a party during the week.
We did.
A lot of alcohol was consumed.
Mm.
I kind of, like, by about 11 went on the water.
What? Slightly pink coloured your water.
I also smoked some quite big cigars as well.
How many did you have? Every time I saw you, you were out on the balcony with a new one.
So
cigar.
What?
Cigar.
Yeah. It just got me thinking, because it's difficult, because obviously you don't want to be too kind of like in about this, but everyone listening to this will know, because they will have been there, unless of course they're a teetotaler, which I don't think anyone who listens to this show would be, because there was some, like, you know, there were some sore heads the morning after, the night before. Also there was some quite drunken behaviour from certain people I seem to recall, which
definitely.
We won't talk about, but
Will Batchelor. He was the drunkest.
Can we not talk about the dancing girl?
Who was that?
No, don't.
They can't. That's not fair, no.
We obviously can't mention
I think
name.
We can say that Will Batchelor was safely one of the drunkest in the room.
Well, it's not fair to make
Duncan
comments
Barks
about
Duncan Barks was one of the drunkest in the room.
I think you'll find I was totally in control of my faculties. Now, listen, what I was going to say was, there were some sore heads the morning after, the night before, and I was just wondering, you must have a hangover story, Harms, because you kind of, you like your ale, don't you?
Yes, I do.
What's the
hangover after the wedding?
No, I actually wasn't. Although I was ill, I caught tonsillitis off the groom.
What were you doing with
him? What was you doing? Yeah, exactly.
He had tonsillitis and then I caught it.
That's a very quick recovery of from tonsillitis.
No, it's been quite a few. I had a day off work.
Yeah, exactly. Tonsillitis lasts weeks.
No, it doesn't last weeks. Mm. I've had it a million times. Yeah. You know what you're talking about.
Yeah. She got a sore throat.
What was the... by the way, if you're listening to this, drink responsibly. Now...
I wasn't hungover after the wedding, but no. I have had some terrible hangovers in my time.
What's your hangover cure? Do you have a cure for your hangover?
Usually salty food and fizzy drinks.
Yeah.
But sometimes I feel too ill to eat anything.
That's bad.
I've had hangovers where I've stayed in bed literally all day because I can't move. Mm. I had one when I was living in America, and I had a frying pan next to my bed to be sick in.
Oh.
That's all. I don't know why I grabbed it when I came in.
That's probably the worst kitchen utensil you can actually take with you into
that.
No, because after a couple of Hueys and Ralphs. Huey and Ralph.
Schoolboy.
Huey! Ralph! That's it, you're going to have to go and empty it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really want to go too far into it, but let's just say I couldn't move all day and I was using the frying pan.
I've discovered. Have you ever been hungover? You must have done.
I don't really get
hangovers.
Sometimes
you must have had a hangover.
Sometimes, I mean, I feel like a bit groggy, but no, I don't really get hangovers.
You must have
I'm
had
quite lucky.
Have
no.
When you were younger, first experimenting?
No, actually, I've started feeling worse now than when I was younger. When I was younger, I could literally go out, drink X amount, and however drunk I was the next morning. I remember one particular night where I was so drunk, and I just don't remember what happened night before.
Very bad, Toby.
The next morning, about 11 o'clock, I was playing tennis.
It's weird.
Superman.
I'm not quite as good as I used to be in those terms. I do sort of start feeling it now, but don't really get hangovers.
I think your tolerance level drops the older you get.
I think you're probably right.
Have you noticed that?
Is that why you were so drunk last night?
I have noticed my tolerance level, because I was away last week, and you know sometimes when you go away, you kind of, your routine's different and stuff, and you just kind of relax a bit more and you unwind and you don't have to be places that you'd normally have to be and stuff. And my tolerance level, it just dropped like a stone last week. It was horrible. I had two glasses of wine, I was like... Well, normally that's two bottles, but it was like after two glasses. And I think the older you get, it's your tolerance level drops. And I kind
it's
of...
It's upsetting, isn't it?
And I find it quite depressing. And I've actually started now. As you saw, after I finished the pink water, I went on to the proper water, and I now start thinking,
he did go on to proper water, and I thought that was very sensible.
But I started doing it, because I just can't deal with the hangovers the morning after.
It does make a big difference if you're drunk.
So I don't really have a hangover story, but I have noticed I've got a horrible trait, and it's got worse since I've been living in either the south of the city, which I did in the first 3 months when I arrived here, or when I'm now on the Wirral, which is this. And chances are, if you've been on a train in the last 6 months, going out of the city centre, heading over to Chester or Ellesmere Port, what?
I know exactly what you're going to say, carry on.
Or, you've ever been on the 86 bus around December, January or February earlier this year, and there was some large bloke sitting on a chair, slightly dozy, eyes closed, going, that would have been me. And the thing is, I've got this horrible trait, and it says, I dribble so badly.
You didn't know.
What do you think I was going to say?
No, it doesn't matter.
Tell me, what?
Doesn't matter.
No. So, and I can probably count now on, it's about 5 or 6 occasions where the best will in the world, I've got on the train at Liverpool Central, I thought this is great, I've made it for the train, and, you know, I'll get off.
That's always a good moment, isn't it, when you actually get that last train?
It's like there should be drunken Olympics, which is kind of like, one of the things you have to do is get the last train before it goes, and you get on and you think, this is fantastic, I'm here, it's great, and I get to the other end, and I'll walk up the hill and sober up a little bit, or I'll get a kebab and get some food inside me, or I'll get a cab or whatever, which is great, but then you fall asleep, and I have ended up on most of the stops on the Wirral Line unintentionally, because I've fallen asleep, I've dribbled, and all of a sudden you wake up with a start. And it was about 9 or 10 weeks ago, I actually woke up at a station I didn't know existed, and I can't begin to tell you the fear as I got out the train and I was looking. I thought, I don't know where I am. It was just one fear, because I've only been up here since December. I had no idea where the hell I was on the Wirral, and I thought, if I get the lift up to the top, I won't know where I am.
See, I wouldn't have got out if I didn't know what that stop
was. But it's a panic. I thought, oh, I woke up and I got one in my dribble, because I was all over my chins, and I got out and it's just where the hell am I? And it's just, I don't know what to do. I'll tell you what, actually,
talking of being on the trains, obviously I get a different train out to you to the north of the city.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if it's a Friday or a Saturday night. I've often caught the last train home, sometimes when I've been working late, or if I have been myself out in town. Mm. The last train home, there is one driver who has great fun with it and who sort of sits there. And you get on the train at Liverpool Central, and just after you get out of Moorfield, because obviously that's where the main bulk of the drinkers have gotten, either at Central or Moorfield, he starts saying to you, "Now listen up, guys. I hope you've had a great night out in the town. I hope you've drunk too much. I hope your head's sore. I hope you spent far too much money. And I hope you feel ill after the kebab you've just eaten. But whatever you do, do not fall asleep on this train." He says, "This train will get to Southport. I'll get off and I'll go home." "And that'll be nowhere near your home. And it's not my job to get you home when you've fallen asleep, missed your stop, and ended up at Southport."
Oh,
and he goes on a long spiel with just these little jokes every now and then thrown in about just whatever you do, don't fall asleep. I don't care how much you've had to drink. I hope it was wonderful. But if you get off at Southport because you've missed your stop, it's your own fault, and I'm not going to help you.
It's only ever happened to me once, actually, when I've fallen asleep to the point, and I woke up when the train was at its end destination. Yeah. It was the last train, and that was when I was not in this part of the world, on the south coast where I come from, and I went to this thing in London. I went to this bar. I wasn't working in this kind of business. I was doing something else, and I went to a Christmas party for an IT company, which was Japanese, at a place in Soho called Madame Jojo's, which the kind of... Have you heard of Madame Jojo's?
I think
it's a transvestite bar.
Heard of it, yeah.
And Japanese men seem to like that kind of thing. So I went out a few scoops in there, and then I got the last train out of Victoria, which goes down the south coastline, and the last stop was Portsmouth Harbour, which is, where the Royal Navy's based, Portsmouth. And I got on the train, delighted with my warm Burger King, thinking this will soak up the booze, this will be great, and had the Burger King and stuff, and I totally fell asleep, and I woke up in Portsmouth Harbour.
Oh, no.
Portsmouth Harbour.
Did you get on HMS Victory when you got there?
No, I didn't. And do you know what? I ended up walking for miles and miles and miles to try and find a cab who would take me, because that's what, there's no buses, nothing else you can do.
Isn't it?
It was horrible, and it was just kind of like, you actually feel so alone, because you think, oh my God, what if I can't get a cab?
Don't you think all final train stations, there should be a big sign with a cab number on it now? Everybody's
got
mobiles.
What's the furthest cab journey you've ever taken?
I took one from London to Manchester once.
A cab?
Yeah.
Who paid for that?
The insurance company.
Wow.
Because my dad had a very bad accident the day before I was due to go back to university. Oh. And my mum was due to drive me, but because of my dad's accident, there was a big issue, and obviously she couldn't then take me up, so we had to get a cab, and eventually the insurance company paid the £250 it was to get it up there.
£250.
Yeah. Blimey. It's a lot.
Tell you what, it was a lot quicker than my mum driving.
She's a bad driver as well as a bad cook.
She's not a bad driver. No, she's a very good driver. But, you know, if she went any slower, she'd be going backwards. So,
what did your mum drive? Just out? I'm getting a lovely picture of your
Honda Jazz.
Of course, it wouldn't be anything else, would it?
It's a nice, nice, sensible little 1.4 litre Group 2 insurance. Yeah. Carl,
what's the furthest cab ride you've ever had?
Not that far, actually.
No, I can't think of one.
My friend, he's a bit of a nightmare when he gets drunk. He always loses everything, you know, his phone, his wallet, everything. Mm. He lives in London. He went on a night out in Leeds, stayed out all night, lost everything.
Missed his train. That's a lot of alcohol, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
To lose everything.
That, I know.
You see, I would be so distraught if I lost my mobile phone. Mm. Because for me, I don't have the numbers written down anywhere now. Everything is just plumbed into
anymore.
The thing. And you actually think, you know, you lose that. That actually is a massive dent, isn't it?
This is the second time you've talked about cabs this week, isn't it? Because I heard you on your weekday show talking about peering over the driver's shoulder and looking at their odometer to see how many miles their cab has done.
Well, let's talk
and you're
about
absolutely
that.
See that I was going to bring this up as well.
Well, let's talk about it because it is local.
Tell the end of my story.
Yeah, right, tell the end of your story.
Always do.
Hang on. It is City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. It's Bloke Talk. I'm Duncan. Toby's here. And Laura's going to finish her story.
Yes, thank you.
Without repetition or interruption. Or hesitation.
My friend lost everything, and
She's struggling now.
Great story.
What happened now with the words just there, ladies and gentlemen?
He didn't have a train ticket to get home. Because he lost his wallet.
Oh.
So he had to get a taxi back to London because he couldn't get in touch with his friend either and he wasn't sure of his friend's address.
There's a lot of pressure on this story now, isn't there?
He ended up getting a taxi from Leeds to London anyway because that was the only way he could get some
money. How did he pay for that if he didn't have a wallet?
He had to go back to London because his checkbook was at home in London. That was the only way he could pay for it. So it cost him £350.
Wow.
Now, that is an expensive
night. But that is a lot of faith the cabbie has in the customer, because you would have thought most cabbies would be going, you are joking. Yeah, you're not. A check when we get to London.
He must have seen the desperation in his eyes.
Yeah. Three.
Did he not have some friends that he could stay with in Leeds until?
He wasn't sure of their address.
Oh, no.
And he didn't have his phone to phone them.
Oh, no.
I know. It's
disaster.
Bad, isn't it?
Is that the end of the story?
In fact, no, what happened, he did know their address and he got a taxi round to their house, but they weren't in and they waited for a bit and then in the end the taxi took him all the way to London.
I'll tell you what, when I was off last week...
I wonder if he gave him that little bit in Leeds for free.
Oh, man.
Did he give him a tip?
I don't know.
I was in London last week.
I don't know the answer to that.
It's fine. I was in London last week because I wasn't here, and I had a day in London. I'll tell you what, I've done this twice, and I'm not saying this to drop names. I did it once in America, and I've done it once in London. And there's now a new thing that's kind of sweeping London and giving black cabs and taxi drivers a run for their money. Do you know what it is?
The rickshaw.
It's the rickshaws.
Yes.
Yeah, fantastic.
But very expensive.
I did one in New York, and I honestly thought I was going to die. And I also did one in London, and there was this me and a bloke. I'm quite a chunky bloke, all right?
Sorry for them having to take you around.
It wasn't just me. There was a bloke
extra.
There was this other guy who was twice the size of me. We both squeezed into this rickshaw.
Oh, no, that's really mean.
Look, he got well
Think
paid.
Think of their poor backs.
Well, why are they doing it in the first place? He was because the one who beckoned me over. He beckoned me over. And we went, oh, Victoria. And we got in. And there's this little bloke. He's about 4'11". He's like... over Waterloo
Bridge.
What's
the Flintstones thing?
And...
terrible,
we got the Victoria, and it kind of we paid him off, and he was purple in the face. I thought, no.
How long did it take him, and where from?
Where were we? We were at some bar somewhere. I don't know. It was about a 25-minute journey.
Oh, that's a long time.
Boring as well after a while.
Yeah. You get over the excitement of it, don't you? And you just think
faster. Come on!
Do they have them in Liverpool yet?
I don't think so. I've never seen them.
No, and I think there's a niche in the market.
They do have horse and carts in Liverpool, though, don't they? There's a horse and cart.
I think there's a niche in the market.
Well, are you going to cycle? You don't like cyclists times.
I'm going to pay someone. I'm going to get some little men, right? And they have to have some little rickshaws, and we can start a little business. You can see them on the rank at Lime Street.
Mm.
It'd be great. You'd use one, wouldn't you? You try one out.
No, I went on one once and it scared me because it tipped back really... It kind of tipped back.
Yeah. I'm going to be great.
I think you have the same thing. Is it a cycle one?
No. Yeah, a mountain with a cycle. A mountain that cycles along and there's it's got like a thing.
No, the one I went on in Dublin was a man who just runs and pulls you.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Yeah, and it kind of tips you back. It was really scary.
That sounds a lot more hard work and considerably slower than a rickshaw.
I think it's the way forward. I think it benefits the environment.
Well, let's do it.
And it puts people in employment.
But you don't like cyclists.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Well, this is surely just another...
If it gets me back from the pub, I don't care.
Oh, I see.
It is the weekend. It's Bloke Talk, and it's City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. I'm Duncan. Laura's here as well, and Toby's here as well. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll talk about getting into cabs in a second and then looking at the old mileometer.
Yeah, the odometer.
Because we all do that as blokes.
Yeah.
This is Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks. City Talk 105.9.
Do you know a hero? The City Talk and Sayers the Better Bakers Child of Courage Award will recognise a very special young person. From conquering illness or disability to caring for a family member and acts of bravery, courage comes in all shapes and sizes. To cast your vote and to win a chance to be at the star-studded awards ceremony at the Royal Court Theatre on December the 2nd, log on to citytalk.fm/localheroes. The third annual Local Heroes Child of Courage Award with Sayers the Better Bakers and City Talk 105.9.
When you work in a hotel as big as this, there's always new people to meet and new opportunities. It's hard work, but the staff are great, which makes it an exciting place to be. And there are great perks too, like much cheaper rooms in our other hotels around the world, which keeps the missus happy.
Working in the tourism and hospitality industry could give your career a boost. With a wide range of job roles available in hotels, restaurants, bars and visitor attractions, call now for details on 0845 013 1515.
City at the cinema. Action. Hello, it's Dan Francisco with this week's movie top 10.
10.
Hard-hitting drama in Hunger.
9.
ABBA Fun for All in Mamma Mia.
8.
High-tech thrills and spills in Eagle Eye.
7.
Anna Faris is the house bunny.
6.
Cartoon fun with Igor.
5.
George Clooney and Brad Pitt star in Burn After Reading.
4.
Ricky Gervais can see the dead in Ghost Town.
3.
More scary goings-on in Saw 5.
2.
Scholastic shenanigans with beautiful teens in High School Musical 3.
Number 1.
Bond is back in Quantum of Solace.
Mr. Bond, my name is Fields. I'm from the consulate.
What do you do at the consulate, Fields?
That's not important. My orders are to turn you around and put you on the first plane back to London.
When is the next flight to London?
Tomorrow morning.
Well, then we have all night.
City at the cinema.
Phil Easton.
Kim Hughes.
Phil and Kim at breakfast.
Who won the Best International Artist category? Do we know?
Emre Aydin from Turkey.
Did he get a backstage chat with him?
It's a her.
Is
and
it?
She's very pretty. There's a picture of her in there.
Never heard of him or her. Brilliant.
All right. She's stunning, actually. There she is.
Well, she's billed as Israeli singing star Shiri Maimon there.
Oh, perhaps I've got it wrong then.
Anyway, having said we've got our finger on the pulse, I think it's just slipped off the pulse.
I'm going to get back to the news.
There's a reason why this is a talk station.
Absolutely.
Phil Easton.
Kim Hughes.
Phil and Kim at breakfast.
City Talk. 105.9.
This is a man's world.
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks. City Talk 105.9.
But it wouldn't be nothing.
How do you think it's going so far, then? We're getting away with it, because we don't have a producer, so, you know, I'm just kind of checking.
Are we allowed to sing along with the theme tune when it comes up?
I'm sure the listeners would love that.
I want to sing along to that and sway and get my lighter out. And...
Good. It is Bloke Talk. That's Toby. Laura's over there as well. That's a very nice scarf you've got on. You're feeling cold. Nippy, isn't it? Nippy.
Not in here. Quite warm in here.
And I'm Duncan.
No, I'm just wearing because it looks nice. It's pretty.
Yeah, I like it. We're going to talk about... Yeah, during the week, on the weekday show that I do, 9 through until midday, City Talk 105.9, we have a bloke on from a website called sniffpetrol.com, and his name is Richard Porter, and what...
That's a funny name.
You should have a look at it. It's very good. It's kind of like very sarcastic, and it's all about motoring stuff. Sniffpetrol.com. Richard Porter is also the script editor of Top Gear. And we have him on the show once a week, and we talk about stuff. And I can't even remember during the week how we got onto the subject. But we were talking about, and this is a very, very unique bloke thing. It's almost like, because I believe blokes have favourite petrol stations as well. Do you get that?
I know the ones that I use in Liverpool, actually, yeah. Even though there's another one that's the same price that I actually pass more regularly, yeah. I will attempt to go to.
You have your favourite petrol station. It's a bloke thing. You don't have a favourite petrol station, do you?
I don't know what you mean.
No, because you're a woman. Blokes have favourite petrol stations. We like our petrol stations. Mm. We'd go out of our way to go to a decent petrol station. Anyway, it's the same with getting into cabs and looking at the mileometer.
You should see Laura's face.
You're looking puzzled. What's the matter?
I wish that the radio could work talking. With faces.
Well, you have...
You're a bit sulky about this.
No, I'm just confused. Just carry on talking.
Mark, what's confusing?
Just carry on talking.
No, what's confusing?
Nothing.
She's good. Now this is an important thing that's happening right now.
Are you copying strop?
This is a girl having a strop on bloke talk.
No, yeah. I'm not.
She's doing the sulky thing
where she's saying,
we're saying what's wrong and she's saying nothing. Just keep talking.
I'm just listening. I don't really have anything to say on. And I'm tired. I'm really tired. So please just carry on.
Mm. Anyway, you get in a cab.
Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. Yeah. If I have to explain. Yeah.
There's nothing. I'm not in a sulk. Honestly, I'm not. You two are making me angry now.
What? Why?
By saying that I'm in a mood when I'm not.
Well, it sounds like you are.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm just sitting here.
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Oh, now you've made me look really awful.
You're just being a girl. It's fine. Let's carry on.
You know when you get into a cab?
Yes.
You look at the mileometer, don't you?
Yes.
It's a bloke thing.
Definitely.
That's what blokes do. We do it because we want to see how old the car is. Well, not how old it is, but how far it's gone.
How hard it's worked.
Yeah, yeah. And it's good because when we were talking about this during the week, it's kind of now more so than ever. I mean, in the 50s and 60s, you'd buy a car, it'd probably go for about 50, 60,000 miles, then it would either fall apart or you'd have to buy a new one.
Yeah.
Because it was knackered. Now... They just keep going forever. And I was listening to it. Go on.
Which brings me to the question, at what figure are you impressed?
Yeah. It's got to be over 100,000.
Oh, God, more than 100,000.
I was reading a magazine recently. It was a motoring magazine. Look, Laura's fallen asleep. And it was about this guy had a 240 Volvo. I think it was a Volvo 240 GL Estate. And he did. Did 265,000 miles
on
it.
That's fantastic.
That is amazing. Right.
How many times around the world would that be?
I don't know.
How long around the world that
10.
Is?
10.
Oh, she doesn't care.
Roughly 10.
It is definitely a bloke thing, and I like that. Mm. And I'm on 110,000 at the moment. I've decided I'm going to drive my car until it falls
when
apart.
I heard you say that, I was really impressed, because I think if you do get to triple figures, you know, over the 100,000 with just a normal commuter car that you probably drive into work, maybe down to London every now and then...
Yeah.
That's then really impressive.
Yeah.
But a cab, you'd kind of expect it to be that sort of amount. You know, in probably less than four years, maybe two or three possibly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think if you get to 200,000, that's really good work.
Yeah. I'm going to have a party when I get to 200,000. I'm going to give the car and get new tyres.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have a barbecue in the boot.
And I'm going to get those. You know, in Halford, you can get it. Does anyone buy the dashboard wipes? Because occasionally, do you not get that moment where you think you ought to do something with your car? So you take it down the car wash, you hoover it. Sometimes you just go, and you do the full Monty for the car. I do this. You take it to the car wash, you hoover it all out, you empty out, all of the coins, all the receipts, coins from the ashtray.
Yeah, and receipts,
The receipts from the glove box or whatever. And if you've got kids, you take out all of the toys and stuff, you clean up your car and all of that. And sometimes I go to Halfords and I buy the wipes that you can clean the dashboard with because I'm thinking that's the right thing to
do. That does sound
nice. I've never been to the car wash.
You've never been to a car wash?
No,
haven't you? I've
never washed my car. I've had it for about a year.
What car have you got? What do you drive, Laura?
A little green Corsa.
Yeah. What's that? You're giving it a name as well. You must have done.
No, that is something we talked about with Will.
Yeah. What things that you
like
name.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. It used to have a name, but Laura's taken her name away.
It was something like Betty or something stupid. I scrapped that. It's just a car.
That's wrong. Betty.
Betty.
Something
well,
like that.
Well, that would be why she stopped calling it that.
It belonged to an old woman.
You've never washed it. How long, you've had it for a year and you've never washed it.
Is that normal?
Have you cleaned the inside?
No.
I think cleaning the inside's more important.
It's dirty.
Is it? What's in your car? Nice. What's in your car?
It's not, there's not rubbish in it. Yeah. It's just dirt and grime.
I once worked with a newspaper journalist called Amanda Kane. I don't know what she's doing now. And she worked for this little newspaper on the south coast. And she used to have this Ford Escort. What?
I was just signalling to Toby about one of our colleagues that's quite messy and dirty.
Who really does. You should see the inside of his car.
Him? LB?
Absolutely, yes.
Liam Blythe. That doesn't matter. No, you can say that.
Okay. This woman, Amanda Kane, she used to have this Ford Escort, and I swear she used to live in it. Like it was dirty, it was cluttered, but actually it was just bizarrely impressive, to the point that she had this kind of well, it's not even a bottle, I don't know what you call them, sort of like a flask of cider that used to be behind one of the seats. And can we go, what's that for? She goes, oh, sometimes when, you know, at the end of the day, I'll get home and I have a little swig, and it's like, but why is it in your car? And like there was like burger wrappers in there and stuff and old newspapers. It was just
I think that women generally are the ones that make a mess of cars rather than blokes. Blokes take just that little bit more pride in cars.
Yeah. You should see the inside of Dave's car.
What's it's in Dave's car? Does he live in it?
It's horrible.
Mm. What's wrong with it?
Why does he have to throw wrappers everywhere? Just there's covered another, in wrappers.
There's another member of our news team who once, in our work car, left her driving shoes underneath the accelerator pedal, and I was the next person to go in, and I was like, I looked down the list in our car. We have to, you know, we it's a pool car, so we have to write who the last person was and the mileage and stuff. I looked down the list, and there was this person's name, and I was like, that's the most horrendous. I had to touch them. They were like these mouldy white flat shoes. And I'll tell you what, they stank.
Every bloke listening to this, if they're in a relationship, either married or got a girlfriend, they don't. We do it if we're in, if we're married to them or we're engaged or in a relationship. We under sufferance, we will remove the shoes.
Yeah.
Okay. But another woman's smelly shoes, that is just rank.
Absolutely
that is
horrendous. I was not impressed. And this is the sort of person as well that you wouldn't imagine would own anything like that. She's very well groomed and well kept, as in fact all of the news girls are.
Everyone,
so we're not giving away her identity here.
Please don't,
But it surprised me that A, it was her, and B, that they could exist. They were horrible.
To be fair, though, you can't drive in high heels.
I don't care.
It's really
You could
dangerous.
At least remove them from the pool
she just
car.
Forgot. She just forgot.
Why can't you just drive in your bare feet?
Well, I don't think you're allowed. Isn't that against the law?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
We're not ever recommending doing that if it's against the law.
No.
Of course not.
What's in your car, then?
There's not much in there at all.
Literally, just dirt.
It's dirty.
Do you not mind getting into a dirty car?
It doesn't bother me at all. It's just a place to.
Are you not ashamed when you give a lift to someone and they kind of?
No, I gave. In fact, after last week's bloke talk, I gave Willie a lift home.
Oh yeah,
and what did he say?
It was dark, so it was okay. But I apologised to him for how bad I am at driving because I'm a really terrible driver.
But not really how bad your car was.
What's in your room? I think this is always a revealing question. You've got a CD player, you've got a cassette player.
Cassette player, but I don't use it.
Do you not have any cassettes?
This car's old. It was a freebie.
What cassettes in the cassette player?
No, I don't listen to cassettes. Do you not have any?
Do you listen to music in the
cassette player as well? And I don't. I bought
all
one
I
of those
to is
things.
The radio.
Yeah, I do pretty much. I bought one of those things that goes into the cassette player and then plugs into my iPod.
Yeah.
Other MP3 players are available. It was rubbish. It was an absolute waste of a tenner.
Yeah, my sister's got one of them.
I always think you can tell a lot about. Something else I always do, if I ever get into someone else's car, I'm always desperate to find out what CDs or cassettes they've got knocking around. Do you not do that? Do you not look? Is that a bloke thing as well?
That's a bloke thing, because that's music snobbery, isn't it?
No, it's not music snobbery. I think you can just tell a lot about a person.
A woman wouldn't even think to do that, I don't think.
Yeah.
Often women do want to rule what's being played on a long journey, though, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
When I went and saw some friends recently, we all got in the car, and my friend's new girlfriend brought her CD of, I think they're some dance group, Cascada, fell on the floor and she was in tears about it.
Huh?
Absolutely pathetic.
That is pathetic.
Yeah. Why was
I wanted
she?
To
How old was she?
22, 23. I wanted to stamp on it.
Well, that's
I thought
nice,
it was
Toby.
Completely pathetic. Yeah. She was like, it's my thing.
I'll tell you what I bought the other day in one of my favourite petrol stations, because what they do is they're very clever.
My favourite.
One of my favourite.
Have you got a top 10, Duncan?
I could probably devise one, given enough time. There's a great one on the A41. They put the CDs on the counter, and you kind of in the queue. You come up like
£3 a time.
Yeah, I'm joining
you can't
the dots
pick
now.
Up bargains in.
I'm joining
in
the dots because not only do I fall asleep after a glass of wine and dribble on the train on the way home or whatever, and I can't hold my booze anymore, but I bought the greatest hits of country.
No,
because it looked good.
You're getting so old, Duncan.
But it's great. Glenn Campbell?
No, we're not going to get excited.
Is it even really Glenn Campbell, though? Or is it like, you know...
Well, this wasn't £3.99. This Glenn was £9.99. This was a tenner. It was a double CD. It was called The Greatest Hits of Country or The Greatest Country Album Ever. It's brilliant. It's got that on there.
I'm sure it's not brilliant.
It's got The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down.
You can keep saying names and singing, but we...
Because I bought it, I thought that'll come in useful one day for one of the radio shows. Oh, and then dear. I kind of like, stuck in a jam, so I stuck it in the CD player and actually was...
singing
good.
Along.
Kenny Rogers, the gambler, you know, the one that the England rugby team were listening to and they're kind of like, you gotta know and all that. That's on there. Kenny and Dolly... Islands in the Stream.
So what can you tell about you then? If I sat in your car and I saw that you had that CD, what would it say about
I think
about
I'm having
you?
A midlife crisis.
Possibly fair.
Yeah. Right, I'm disappointed because normally you can get an indication about what people are about with the music in their cars, but that's...
I think possibly,
all I listen to is the radio.
Yeah, when you work in radio, don't you find that you listen to more radio than people that don't?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a bit of a geeky thing, isn't it? It's a bit of a club somehow.
Yeah. It's great. I'm just going to mention this. There's someone that I hear sometimes, because sometimes I go back down south on a Friday, and there's this guy on this station that's in Stoke, and it's great. I won't mention his name, but he always follows it with Yours Truly, or he might just go, "It's Yours Truly." Yours Truly on
what
the radio.
What does that even mean?
Exactly. It's pointless. No one talks like that. Who do you know actually goes, I mean, someone came up to you and go, it's Yours Truly. You'd either walk away or punch them, wouldn't you? Let's be honest. No one talks like that. It's Yours Truly. What's all that about? Anyway, City Talk, 105.9, The Voice of Liverpool's Bloke Talk. Laura's here.
Hello.
Have you come out of your strop now?
I wasn't in a strop. You two ganged up on me, made up a strop.
And there's no ganging up going on.
All I can say... to be interested in that topic of conversation.
The proof is in the listening.
Yeah.
No, you're making me look bad, please.
Yeah, Toby, come on now.
I don't get stroppy. I just wasn't interested in that topic of conversation.
The proof is in the listening.
I went to sleep.
Toby's here, and I'm Duncan. Jamie Oliver.
I'm getting the finger there. That was a finger I just got.
Rude.
I just pointed at him.
Yeah, what, with two fingers?
I want to talk about Barack Obama, but not in the way that everyone thinks. And very quickly, Jamie Oliver's been banging on about the fact of how more men are cooking. And I just wanted to mention this, because apparently in the 1990s...
What's that got to do with Barack Obama?
No, well, it's not. It's a separate thing.
Oh,
but
sorry.
I'm just mentioning Barack Obama, because otherwise I forget to do it before we go home. Modern men are cooking almost twice as often as they did 10 years ago. In the 1990s, the average guy would cook just 3 evening meals every week. New findings shows that that's risen to 5, 3 during the working week and 2 meals at the weekend. The study also revealed that 62% of blokes can make an omelette compared to just 42% a decade ago. Can you make an omelette?
Yeah.
How many eggs do you use?
Normally 3.
Exactly. That is the perfect amount. Hmm. I love omelettes. Do you like omelettes?
Yeah, I'm really bad at omelettes.
Impress you if he knocked up an omelette?
Big time.
Yeah.
Favourite filling?
I like herbs. I like
just
getting
herbs.
Yeah, and some really kind of like strong cheese.
Yeah, you've got cheese at that.
But I'm talking about, you know, like something like Stilton or a bit of blue, because you're something a real bite, grate it in, get any herbs, it doesn't matter, you know, but like coriander, parsley, chop it up really finely. What?
We seem to be talking more and more about cooking on the show.
It's good, isn't it?
Right? We were talking about toad in the hole earlier.
Make the omelette.
Put some mustard in there. we could have a little... Yes. Jonathan wants us to do more features. We could have a little...
We can have recipe download cards on the website. Go to
citytalk.fm.
Download the latest recipe.
There seems to be certain things that we've said we're going to do quite a lot. Like, what ever happened to us going and having a shave? No.
Oh, we haven't done that yet.
Yeah, there's loads of shade.
Yeah, we've got to do that.
In
and
fact,
also,
we're all talk on this show. We're all talk.
Well, we need to go for a shave. I just haven't got around to organising
it. All right, we'll organise it.
Let's change it for next week.
And also, you know, also we're going to go out and do this show from various places.
Yeah,
and I had to talk to other people and say to them, you know, do you mind if we go out and do stuff? And in this day and age, you have to ask people for permission. It's not a simple thing.
No.
All right?
So where are we? What
stop being impatient.
We should change it from bloke talk to all talk.
What stage are we at with the going out process?
I think we're 70% there.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's taken 7 weeks. Another three.
It's my fault.
What do you think then about this shave this week? What do you think?
Next seven days. I'm actually thinking. I'm getting cold. I'm not shaving at the moment.
Oh, come on. Let's do it in the next 7 days.
Just that. What? I'm going to go on the grow a bit more.
And Laura's sounds a bit smoother. We should do. Whose beard is this?
Whose legs are these?
Hey. They're quite shiny today, the legs.
Yeah.
Laura's got the legs out, ladies and gentlemen.
Because I went to a party.
Yours truly has the legs out.
It's the leg out, yours truly. How do we get on to that? I can't remember. No, I'm not going to shave because I want to keep this for a bit.
Oh.
But it's getting to that itching point. Any man listening who's grown a beard will know it goes through the itching stage.
Well, at the itching stage, we can go and get it shaved.
Why do you want to go and get it shaved?
Because I just think that we talked about it. Well, let's get our first feature done.
We can't do it until Jonathan's back, because we need someone to hold the microphones.
Well, that's true. You wouldn't want the barber.
We run out of time for Barack Obama. We'll do Barack Obama next week.
Okay.
Because it's something I'm fascinated about, is the fact that we now know he's going to be the president, but he doesn't get the keys to the White House until January. All right? So if you were George W. Bush...
You could do anything. I think
what
that.
What would you do?
Absolutely.
I'd be running around gluing down like the letter P on all the keyboards in the White House just to irritate Obama and his crew when they move in. But we'll talk about that in more detail. Thank you both. It's been an experience.
See you next week.
Are we all happy? No one's grumpy now.
No.
We okay?
Laura's sorted herself out.
Okay. It has been Bloke Talk, and it's City Talk 105.9, The Voice of Liverpool.
Listen, and log on to the Voice of Liverpool. City Talk 105.9.